Hey, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online. As we enter into another year of the podcast, I can't thank you enough for listening and hopefully your support. With more options than ever before for podcast listening, supporting this program and becoming an extra podcast person is more important than it ever has been in the past. And I always try and make it worth your while to be a supporter. For only $5 a month as an EPP, an extra podcast person, here's what you get. You get access to our bonus episodes, brand new ones every single week, more than 300 in the archive that you get with our best ghost stories. You get a free e-copy of our best-selling book, Real Ghost Stories, Haunting Encounters Told by Real People. You also get the audiobook version of it as well. In addition to that, you're going to get advanced episodes of our program released to you weeks before they go to the public, and they're commercial free. So if you're a big listener of the show, you want to cut the ads out, you want to cut this plea out as well, become an EPP, an extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. You're going to get all of that. On top of that, you also get access to our video archive of our episodes of Seeing Ghosts with new episodes coming in 2020. You get advanced ticket sale options when we go and do live shows so you can get seats before everybody else, and a whole lot of other extras throughout the year as a supporter of our program for only $5 a month. Please consider supporting the show. You guys spending that $5 a month as a whole is what keeps this alive. Without the support, we will not exist. So if you listen, if you've been an EPP in the past, please consider signing back up to be an extra podcast person and help this show survive. We love doing it, but we can only do it with your support. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. And thank you for your support. Elementary school is a time of many firsts. For some kids, it's also a time of experiencing a first haunting. Just how dark can a schoolhouse be? We find out today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your Real Ghost Story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Support the program. Keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person at EPP over at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. With that, you get many perks, including bonus EPP episodes every single week, brand new one every week, access to our archive of almost 300 of them. You also get a free e-copy of our best-selling book, Real Ghost Stories, Haunting Encounters Told by Real People. You get the audiobook as well, so you can binge away on that. And there's a whole bunch of other video exclusives and things like that. And other things throughout the year that kind of pop up as extras when you're an extra podcast person. An EPP, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com to sign up for all of that. It's kind of like the, you know what you're getting for the most part, but sometimes there's extras. I was going to say it's like the grab bags. Remember grab bags?
Yeah.
That was as exciting as it got when we were children to be surprised by.
That was the original, like,
LOL.
LOL and num nums and all that crap. Yeah.
You sound really thrilled about that stuff.
It's stupid.
Children love being surprised.
They like being surprised. They don't care that it's like 50 cents worth of crap in a $5 bag.
So yeah.
It's really sad.
It is. You know, and I knew that back then with the grab bags. That's why I never got grab bags, because I like, it's just a bunch of shit that they didn't sell, that they put into a bag because they didn't want you to see what it is because nobody bought it to begin with.
Right.
And then here, buy it. And then, ooh, yay, this is not that great. But now it's like a whole thing. Somebody thought, kids like this. Mm-hmm. Let's put it in shiny decorated packaging and sell it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't get it. What is that? Why do children, why are they so thrilled with not knowing what toy they're going to get? And when they do open it, it is all just little, I don't know. It's like trinkety. It's like stuff you would have gotten out of a vending machine for a quarter.
Not even the quality that you get in a Happy Meal.
No.
So I don't know what the deal is with that.
I don't understand it.
I don't either.
I don't understand children.
Maybe it's the gamble of what you might or might not get.
I don't know. There's something to it. And Harp's been excited because now she's, there's a lot of elements of her. I'm like, yeah, I did the same sort of shit. She's like, I have the collector's guide and I know which one is going to be, is very valuable and very rare. Mm-hmm. It's like, and I guess to the kids, it's like, it's kind of neat. It's a rare thing. But at the end of the day, it's like not worth anything. But I kind of was like that with Happy Meal toys. I like to collect those when I was a kid thinking, yeah, oh, these will be worth something someday. And my mom played that too. I go, these will be worth something someday. And I have like a whole duffel bag of Happy Meal toys up somewhere. I don't know where. And I have just out of curiosity, looked them up going, okay. Cause I think we talked, you know, when you're an adult, you'll be able to, you know, these will be worth something. I'm an adult. They ain't worth shit.
Yeah.
Or they're worth very little. They're not worth the time and effort that were put into saving them for what they are worth today. They're probably worth a couple bucks a piece if you can find someone to buy them.
Right.
If. Mm-hmm. But good luck doing that. Because even go to flea markets and they're like a quarter still. So,
yeah.
I don't know. One of those things. Very little, I think it's very hard to predict what's going to be worth something in the future. Mm-hmm. Like collector-wise. I think a lot of things we predict will be are not. And things we had no idea would be are. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's the rule to live life by.
I just can't imagine that something that mass produced would be worth much in the future.
Unless it's like there's something wrong with it. You know, a couple of years ago, they had those McDonald's, the iFit watches or something.
Yeah.
And they started like bursting into flames and shit. And I thought, well, this will be worth something because everyone's going to get rid of theirs.
And then you got rid of yours because you were afraid it was going to burst into flames.
Then I let my anxiety get rid of it.
Yeah. How'd that work out?
Could have been a millionaire now.
Right. Or your house could have burned down. It's a gamble. It's like an LOL toy.
Thank you, Daria. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go over to our first letter of the day. It says, I grew up on a farm in central Nebraska. High school I attended was two towns over on the highway. The elementary, middle, and high school buildings were split between the two towns. Middle school was in one town, and the elementary and high school were in the other. I never had classes in the elementary building to have any experiences because the two-town schools merged when I was in middle school. But I do have experiences in the other two buildings. The middle school building was once a middle, high, and elementary building for years. My grandfather attended school and graduated from the same building. The main and oldest part of the building was built in the 1920s. It was two stories high, with the lower story being halfway below the ground and windows at ground level. It had two additions put on in the 70s on either side of the original building. Walking into the original front doors, you had the option to get up the extremely wide staircase to the second floor or go to the left or right to go down a few steps to the first floor. If you went upstairs, you would find yourself in front of the long trophy case. The library was on the one side of the case, and the principal's office was in the other. There were bathrooms on either side of the staircase that you'd had to go up an incline to get into. The bathrooms were directly above the tall entryway. The girls' restroom was on the right and boys' on the right. All the way up on the one side of the ramp were half walls that looked down over the staircase. The doors to get inside were heavy and required some effort to open, as is usual for such an old building. They were also covered in panes of frosted glass. Each bathroom had a large window which lit the room quite well. Each bathroom had three stalls with two sinks and a mirror on the wall opposite. One day I had to go to the restroom. I entered a stall and was doing my business when I heard the heavy door open and close and someone enter the stall closest to the door. I couldn't see the shoes of whoever was in it, as the stall would nearly touch the floor. The girl, however, didn't sound happy. I finished and exited my stall and went to wash my hands. I glanced in the mirror, only to see the first door still open with nobody inside. The person couldn't have left without making a sound. I heard the door just once and the shoes on the tile floor. Someone should still be there, but I was the only one in the room. I shook it off as me hearing things. I mentioned it a few hours later to a classmate, and she said while she was walking up the incline one time, she saw the silhouette of a person with a ponytail and skirt walk past the door on the way to the sinks. But when she opened the door seconds later, the room was again empty. That building had a lot of stories from various people that had gone there, voices at the main stairwell that were whispering, but nobody was there. Lights turning themselves off and on and equipment working and then not working. The high school building is where I had the biggest paranormal experience of my life. The house I grew up in was haunted as well, but that's for another time. The high school's cornerstone said 1925. It was a large three-story brick building. Walking in the front door, you would be faced with a mural of high school mascot. There were doors on either side of the mural that led to the auditorium. Besides the auditorium doors, there were two identical staircases that led up to the top two floors. You'd go up 12 steps, turn 180 on the landing, and go up 12 more to the second floor. Repeat for the third floor. The ground floor lockers belonged to the juniors and seniors. The second belonged to sophomores. And the top floor was freshmen. On the ground floor, to the level, was the cafeteria. And if you went all the way left, you had the shops, classroom, and a side door to the auditorium. That hallway led all the way down past the wrestling practice room to the new gym. About one third of the way down the hallway is where the original building stopped and the addition began. Because of this, if you stood at the beginning of the hallway, you couldn't see the other end because of a roughly 10-foot bend in the hallway. Also at this bend, the floor transitioned from carpet to tile. I was in track and field as a sophomore, and like any kid, I was forgetful. We got back from the meet about 11:30 at night and realized that I forgot a book in my locker that I needed for the first period in the morning. I decided to go and get it. I didn't turn on any lights because I didn't want to attract any unnecessary attention. I mentioned that I was going to get my book to a coach, and he told me to hurry. I made it to my locker, retrieved my book. Just as I shut my locker door, I heard the third floor above me creaking like someone was walking on it. I thought that one of the other track kids had gone up the other stairwell. As I heard a couple of deeper thumps, but chalked it up to the building's ancient heat system. I started downstairs, but when I reached the landing between the first and second floors, the creaks were on the landing between third and second. The creaks were now accompanied by footsteps. I gave a quick hello, but nobody answered. A little spooked, I went a few steps down and the second part of the stairway, and the footsteps did the same above me. I jumped the last half of the steps and ran over by the mural. The creaks and footfalls reached the landing, but I still didn't see anyone. I ran for the long hallway because my vehicle was parked by the new gymnasium, and it was the quickest route. I reached the door to the gym and turned around, hoping that it was just another classmate. I heard running footfalls on the carpeted part of the hallway behind me. But then the running feet went from the carpet onto the tile, but there was nobody there. I could clearly see where the person should be, but there was nobody. The color drained from my entire body, and as I ran as fast as I could out of my car, I locked the doors, gripped the steering wheel. My hands went numb. I stared at the door to see if anyone came out. 5 minutes, nobody exited. I looked around the parking lot and it was completely empty. I got home and told my dad what had happened. He had attended middle and high school in the same building. He got an odd look on his face and said, "You're braver than me." I'd never go in that building alone after dark. Was I chased by a ghost? Or was it just an old building? And my mind playing tricks on me.
I think it could definitely be a ghost, because old schools are just creepy.
Yes, they are. And they're always haunted as shit.
They seem to be.
Guaranteed. I don't know. I mean, I can't say that I've ever been in an old school that didn't feel like there was some weird energy there. Not that I'm, you know, Mr. Energy Man, that I can sense everything. But
that's how potent it is. Somebody that's not sensitive can still pick up on it.
Is it, or is it just the aesthetics of what you're around? Like, I just talked to, I just had an interview early today about an old textile town that's now a ghost town. It's just completely empty. And that's what it is. It's called Henry River Mill Village in North Carolina. Town's empty. But, you know, you go through there, you get a vibe. You'd be like, this feels weird, you know? Mm-hmm. Is it because it's haunted, or is it because it's just the environment you're in? I think schools, old schools specifically, have that vibe going on. Especially schools feel unsettled. Even new schools feel unsettled when there's no kids in them.
Yeah.
I think, is it our mind? And I'm not saying that this isn't a ghost story that this person, I'm just talking in general about old schools, because I understand what happened here. I think it's a haunted school. Mm-hmm. But I'm just wondering if all old schools are truly haunted, or if it's just more so our mind assigns, you know, it looks for patterns. The pattern, you're in a building that's a school, and you see these structures, lockers, classrooms. Your mind is telling you there should be children running around. You're going to hear noises. You kind of got to be on guard. It's assigning this. And then when you're in that atmosphere and these other things are not playing with what your mind expects, you feel like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
It's like being outside on a very overcast day and it looks like it should be raining and pouring, or you can even see rain further away, but where you're standing, there's nothing going on. It's an eerie feeling. It's like, yeah, your mind's like, this should be happening here. Why is this not happening here?
I don't know. I think schools hold a lot more energy. Because you and I have been in, you know, countless old buildings. And not every old building has that creepy vibe. So it's not just the age of the structure. I think it's very much the feelings that were felt within the walls.
Sure.
So schools, especially high schools, upper age schools, from the time they hit, you know, adolescence on, and there's all the different emotions compounded and amplified by hormones, you know, I feel like that is just a breeding ground for a lot of energy to stay.
I find elementary schools creepier than high schools.
Really?
I find old elementaries far creepier than high school, old high schools. I do. I don't know why. I don't know. I don't know if it's like just the nervous energy, or I don't know. Maybe it's just my own experiences reflecting back onto what I find creepy. But yeah, I mean, I've gone through older high schools and like, oh, it's an older high school. But then, I don't know, I find it, I think, is there something eerier about an elementary school?
I don't know.
I don't know what it is, but that's to me.
I have experience with haunted elementary schools, but I don't have, they don't give me a scary feeling.
No.
No. Because like, I put up on Instagram the picture of the school where I would sit and play jacks on the porch. Mm-hmm. Every day at recess, because there was literally this old rock school building in our school's playground yard.
And you can see it at Jenny Brewski.
You can. Anyway, that school I felt like had energy, but I always felt like I was safe there. Kids weren't going to be mean to me. I felt like it's almost like when you're sitting, you know, as a little kid and you're playing next to your mom, nobody's going to bother you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I felt like when I sat on that porch. And I think that's why I gravitated towards that. But at that building, I felt like there was something there, but it wasn't creepy. It wasn't bad.
Well, then maybe that's the difference there. I mean, I, in a lot of my elementary years, I was on edge and anxious and nervous as shit. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I had some good elementary years, because I know my mom will listen. You had good elementary years, like some, but there was a lot of anxiousness for me. Yeah. In a lot of those years. And there were some years that were just shit because the kids were mean and I didn't know how to handle it. And so maybe some of that is what speaks to me when I'm in an elementary school that's abandoned and shut down and I see that atmosphere. Maybe it's the little Tony talking to me, look out for the little assholes that are going to come and pick on you.
Could be.
You know, and it's like this innate thing where you're just kind of like, I don't want to go play. I don't want to have gym class. I don't know. But like when I went through that that school as it was being torn down and I was taking pictures of it in Wichita years ago. Mm-hmm. Remember that? It was BTK's elementary school.
And that's probably why you were creeped out, because you knew that a little serial killer had his, you know, his most formative years here, and maybe something happened in this building is what made him become a serial killer.
Yeah, it was going through my mind, because you're like, you walk through all of it like you're, there's a little hopscotch boards on the asbestos floor. Mm-hmm. And there's the, you know, remember the balance beam that's carpeted?
Yeah.
And that was in there. And it was sitting up in the kitchen on top of the sinks and the shelves. And yeah, all these things run through your mind like, oh, little Dennis Rader used to spend his formative years here before he became BTK. I don't know. I mean, it was interesting. It was a weird vibe. It could have been also the fact that there was a wrecking ball at the other end of the hall that was knocking the building down. And I had to wear a hard hat and they said, don't go past this room.
I'm surprised they let you in it at all. That's a huge liability.
I know. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
And I got permission. I had to look up like who owns this building. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, because I don't do the, I don't know. I guess when I was 18 is when I should have done that shit and I didn't. I was always afraid of getting caught. So I was in my mid 20s.
See that? Yeah. Cause I remember we were married.
Yeah. So it was like what? 27, 28.
No,
when I did that.
No, this was later than that. Harp was in the picture when you did that.
Was she?
Yeah. Cause okay. I was kind of like, really? You're going to go play in a tear down building when I've got, you know, our infant. Great.
I didn't think Harp was born yet.
No, Harp was around.
Okay. So I've been like, what, 30, you know? 30.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, you're playing a tearing down. You got a good point there, honey. Well, I didn't even know they were tearing it down that day. I just knew there was crews that were working on stuff around it. And I went to the, because I called the guy who owned the building. I said, hey, I want to go take some photos. That's all. I have no harm. No, that's all. You know, can I go do that? They're like, you're fine with me if you just talk to the crew there, and if they say it's okay, it's okay. And they gave me a hard hat and said, don't go past. And really, I didn't go past the line. I didn't get in anybody's way.
See, I think something drew you there because that's the most effort you've ever put into getting into an abandoned place. You went through the right channels. You didn't just sneak in there.
Yeah, I really did.
And you knew it was being torn down, yet you still went in that building where the anxious Tony I know, who literally 5 minutes ago, we left the house for 2 minutes, you blew out the candle that's perfectly safe on the kitchen counter, goes walking in a building being torn down, hit by a wrecking ball. Something was going on with that, because that's not the anxious Tony I know.
I don't know what the hell. I didn't feel like drawn to it, really. I was just
every
curious.
Day when you drove by and you looked at
Well, yeah, I was curious. I think maybe that's, but I'm not saying there was like, oh, I think it was more because I was on my route going to the radio station every day. So I think maybe that was certainly the curiosity factor. I was very curious about it. And when I saw they were going to tear it down, I was like, ah, shit. I really wanted to see that someday. I always kind of thought that'd be a fun one to go look at.
So and maybe, 99% of people don't even pay attention to that building even being there.
Really? It was a huge eyesore. It was like...
Most people don't notice that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. You were drawn to BTK's elementary school.
Should I put that as like my new Instagram bio? I was drawn to BTK's elementary school.
No.
And I like podcasting.
I mean, unless you've listened to us for any amount of time or you're from Wichita, you don't really know much about BTK. Except Mindhunter. Mindhunter is getting the name out. So, when we talk about it, we don't seem so insane.
Anybody who follows like a Dateline watcher or a true crime person knows about BTK.
Yeah.
I knew about BTK. I was in Michigan. I knew who BTK was.
Really?
It was national news. I don't think you realize that because, I mean, and it's easy to not know that when you're in the ecosystem of where shit is going on, you don't know how far this is spreading.
There's just so much crazy in Wichita that I just tuned it out and figured it was just all in our corner of the world.
No, it's actually pretty big national news at that moment in time. I think the world was just longing for a nice serial killer story at that moment.
Probably.
I don't know why, but it was the thing. It was kind of funny because there was a pop band called B2K at the time.
Oh, nice.
And it was kind of like, odd. Anyway, 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. It's got another letter. It says, this happened at the end of May, a week before our move to upstate New York. Instead of school finishing in the middle of June, it finished at the end of May. My mom married a nice guy named Frank, and we moved in with his daughter, Valerie. So our tiny apartment became even more crowded. And that's why my parents bought a huge house in upstate New York. I came back from school, relieved that school was over, and that I was finally going to have my own room and a lot of space. I didn't really have any friends here, but I already have a best friend upstate. Her name is Nikki. And she goes to the same school and class as I do because my mom already signed me up for school there. It's a small school because there aren't a lot of kids in that neighborhood. Nikki lives three houses from me. I met her when we went to see the house, so there I was sitting on the couch, imagining how great my summer vacation would be. That's when I found out that my great aunt had passed away. I wasn't very close to my great aunt, but my mom was. Since everyone else was going, I decided to go too. Driving from Maine to Connecticut, then back to Maine, and then moving to New York was very stressful. It's a very long ride, and I was bored to death. Since we were driving during the night through the forests and fields, I was completely dark. I just kept staring into space while everyone else was sleeping. Then I saw an animal sitting in the middle of the road, and it looked like it was growling. Or glowing, sorry. As we got closer, I noticed that the animal was a dog. It looked like a light blue, glowing Labrador. And we ran it over. I looked back, but the dog was gone. About 2 minutes after the dog incident, my stepdad pulled over. I asked him what was wrong, and he said that there was something on the road a minute ago, but now it's gone. I didn't say anything about the dog for the rest of the ride. After hours of driving, we were finally in my mom's hometown. It was a small, old suburb in the middle of a field. We got there at 6 in the morning. I was tired. It was a day before the funeral, so Valerie and I slept until 9. I met this girl. She lived next door to my mom's old house. She's a year younger than me, but she was way more adventurous than me. I'm American, French, Polish, and there's this tradition that when a person dies, the whole family gathers in his or her house on the night before the funeral and prays. So while everyone was at my great aunt's house, my friend and I decided to take a midnight walk because we needed to get some fresh air. Just as we were passing my aunt's house, I saw that glowing dog in front of us again. And this time, it was growling at us. I screamed, "Run!" and started dashing the other way. My friend just looked at me and said, "Mandy, what are you talking about?" I looked back and all I could see was a dark road, a light coming from my great aunt's. And my friend, staring at me as if to say, "Are you crazy?" I was sure it was a dog. My mom walked out of the house and told me to go home and get some sleep, and when I got home, I could see the light in the living room, which meant Valerie already came back. I changed into my pajamas, and Valerie and I headed for the bedroom. This was a one-story house, and it only had one big bedroom, a living room, and a kitchen. I couldn't fall asleep. I kept thinking about the dog that I saw today, and I'm pretty sure it was a ghost. It was morning, and we were all getting ready for the funeral. Then my parents went to my great aunt's house once again. We walked slowly to the cemetery, and behind us, we could see everyone else also heading there. Just as the coffin was being put into the ground, I saw that dog once again, this time sitting by my feet. But the weird thing is that I didn't feel scared anymore. I felt happy. I don't know why. We moved 3 days after the funeral. Our new house was cool. But I swear I saw that dog again in our backyard. I haven't seen it since.
I wonder if the dog belonged to the person who died at some point.
Or? I don't know. What's your or?
I don't know.
Could it be like just kind of a spirit guide or something like that that's there to help that individual, help her, the author of our story, through that moment? Because it kind of seemed to show up. It's fairly stressful times. It's like, it's out there. And then at the funeral, there it is.
It was only not a, you know, scary thing at the funeral. All the other times, it was adding to the stress.
But was that its intent, or was that just how it was interpreted?
I don't know. I know when they thought they ran over it, you know, that's stressful because you think you hit somebody's dog. But then at one point, they thought it was growling, and they ran from it. So
that's true.
I don't know.
I wonder sometimes, you know, a lot of ghostly things, I think, have to be viewed through the lens of, well, okay, here's how I'm interpreting this, but what is its intent truly? Is it intending to scare, or is it, you know, just the fact that this is a ghost that I'm, you know, kind of getting freaked out by this, you know? I think that's something that's a lens to look through these at. But yeah, I mean, if it's growling at you, I don't know. One of those things you got to kind of wonder.
Yeah.
What exactly is the whole story? 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Hi.
Hey, guys. My name's Ashley. I have a few stories for you. My family is kind of an empath on my dad's side. I get all that from them. But anyway, long story short, in 2000, I was in a really bad car accident. It was me, my mom, my dad, and my two sisters. We slipped 4 times on the interstate into the other lane. And luckily, nobody got really hurt besides my sister, my middle sister. And she was in and out of the hospital. She almost died, and it was a really bad time. But when they brought her home, she was in a coma, in and out. And she had beanie babies. And I love these beanie babies, so I would go in her room, and I would steal them and take them to my room. Well, time went on, and she, you know, she could get up, and she would talk to us, and she would say, she would be talking to a little girl. She always would talk to this little girl, and she said her name was Michelle. I'll never forget this. And one day, I went to go sit down, and there was a chair open next to her, and she said, my friend Michelle's sitting there. And I was like, no, she's not. Ha, ha, I'm going to sit on her because I'm the oldest, and I'm just a dick like that. But anyway, so I go to sit down, and she's like, my friend's going to get you tonight. And I was like, okay, whatever. You know, we were little. Well, I had a Rottweiler, and he would sleep with me every night. And if we had, like, an upstairs room. Well, that night, he would not come upstairs. He sat, and he whined and whined at the bottom of the stairs. And I was like, okay, I guess it's not coming up. So I go upstairs, you know. I'm laying down, and a toy turns on in my room. And I just felt this presence. I could feel it, and I knew it just felt like something was staring at me. So I ran downstairs, and my dog was at the bottom of the stairs. She was still whining. So when I ran downstairs, she started growling a little bit at the top of the stairs. So for like a week and a half, I laid at the bottom of the stairs with my dog because I was afraid to sleep in my room. So fast forward, we went to a park one day, and this park was by a cemetery. And my sister goes off, you know, we're taking pictures before this happened. We were taking pictures. It was a Polaroid picture. I still have that picture. I'll have to send it in to you guys. But we were taking pictures, and she walks off, and she's, like, telling her friend bye and this and that. We asked her, we said, what are you doing? And she said, well, Michelle's leaving. She said that I don't need her no more, and she will see me again one day. And I said, really? And she said, yeah. Well, I got back home that night, and I was eating a bowl of cereal. I won't forget this either. And I was looking at that picture, and believe it or not, that little girl was in the picture with my sister. She was missing an arm, and my sister's story was when she got in a car accident in her coma, she would have the same dream 10 times. She had the same dream. And she would say, it's the little girl she got in a car accident too, and she was there to comfort her. And she would see her again one day. But, yeah, it's a crazy story. That's my story, you know. Michelle kind of messed with me a little bit because I was a bad girl, I guess, a bad sister. But anyway, that's my story. I hope you guys play it. You guys are awesome. I love your show. I plan to become an ETP soon. And, yeah, you guys have a great night. Bye.
Okay, so the sister had the near-death experience,
mm-hmm.
and that can, you know, bring on spirits, but it almost sounds like something followed her home from the hospital.
Yeah.
And was there till she got better.
Like it was that spirit's mission to help her get better, mm-hmm. and to help see her through what she was about to, you know, embark upon in recovery.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like it was another little girl that probably didn't make it through.
Right.
But then that was her. I wonder if how much that plays into what happens when we kick it. If it's, you know, we're talking the other day, I don't know if it was this episode or the other episode, like about reincarnating or becoming a butterfly
or
something, you know, or you know, being a spirit guide or a ghost or whatever. If the the way in which we kick it plays a role in that, where it's like the little girl, you know, had this happen. Then she realized, oh, that was really tough and horrible to go through. I'd like to help other little girls go through this.
Mm-hmm.
And in some, if you kind of get some sort of choice there, if she could have chosen, I'm going to go be a caterpillar or it can be me and I can help out other little girls as a ghost. I don't know. I mean, it sounds kind of crazy, but I wonder, I really, this is, I think, one of the most fascinating points of death is the choose your own adventure area.
But do you get to choose it?
Well, that's what I'm wondering.
Yeah.
Do you get the choice? You know, we not like, it was just like, well, this best suits your personality. Guess what? You get to be a sloth, you know, and you get to go help people.
It's yeah.
Just, it's the universe saying, if you end up as a sloth, it's like the universe really doesn't. It's like this is the best you're going to get. It's like a big fuck you from Mother Earth. Okay. Although, I don't know, maybe sloths are just having a great grand old time and they're just, you know, they're slow, but
they
look comfortable. They do. They look eternally comfortable. And
they look comfortable. It's because they have to be in the same position for so long.
I don't know. Yeah. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. And that's going to wrap up the program for today. Be sure to follow us on social media. Instagram, Jenny is at Jenny Brewski. B-R-U-E-S-K-I is how you spell that, by the way. I'm at Tony Brewski. And be sure to support our program, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to be an EPP, extra podcast person. Get all the bonus episodes and more. I'll keep the show on the air. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.